Shmuel Beis Perakir in Pasuk Vav. Yeah, Vayiru Bnei Amon, Kiniva Shubi David. Once Amon realized that David is quite upset with them, what do they do? Vayishlachu Bnei Amon, Vayiskaru Es Aram Ben Rechoiv, Beis Rechoiv. They hired a king called Aram, Ves Aram Tzoiva, another king, Esrim Elef Ragli, Ves Melech Macho, Elef Ish, Vayish Toiv, Shnei Masar Elefish. He hired four different kings to come and fight alongside his army because he was terrified of David. David was known to conquer many lands, many countries. He was able to defeat very strong armies. So now he's going and seeking the help of these four kings.
These other people weren't afraid. I mean.
Well, they figured that, first of all, these four kings were mighty warriors. There were many. They figured if they join forces and fight David together, they have a chance.
He's paying them.
Yeah, he's paying them. He hired them.
Did he have enough money?
Apparently he did. Yeah. He was quite wealthy. Vayishma David. David hears that they are now trying to engage in war with him. Vayishlach is Yoav, is called Tzva HaGibayrim. He sends Yoav. Yoav is his general and the Tzva HaGibayrim, his mighty warriors. Well, we're going to see in a minute, there's two parts to the army. There is the army that is more fierce, well-trained, and there is a part of the army that are weaker. They're not as powerful as the other part of the army. Just like in the American Army, you have the Navy SEALs, right? You have the Delta Force, and then you have the Marines. So you have the more powerful part and the weaker part. So now, the way they set the war up was Bnei Amon, who they themselves were not a powerful army. So they fought by the city. They set up camp right in front of their city because they wanted to have the protection of the city. They wanted to have the protection of the wall that was going to be surrounding them. In case they would have to defend themselves, they could just go into the city, climb onto the wall, and use their arches to fight Yoav. So, because they were weaker, so they protected themselves in that fortress. And then the other four kings, Aram Tzoiva, Rechoiv, Yishtoiv, Machal, Avadam, Basadam. These other four kings, they fought, they set up camp out in the field, openly in the field, because they were mighty warriors, they were very strong, and they were not concerned as much as Bnei Amon were. So we'll see how Yoav comes and addresses this setup. Yoav realizes that no matter what he does, he's going to be surrounded. If he goes ahead and he attacks Bnei Amon in their city, what's going to happen is the four kings are going to come behind him. He's then going to be trapped. He's going to have the city of Amon on one side in front of him. He's going to have the four kings who came from behind. So he's going to have nowhere to go. So what does he do? He splits up the camp. He singles out all the mighty warriors, the soldiers who are well trained, and he takes them to fight who? To fight the four kings who were more powerful. The Esyesaram, the rest of the army, who was not as powerful as this unit, Nasan Biad Avshai Ochiv. He put in the hands of his brother Avishai. He sends them to fight Bnei Amon. Again, Bnei Amon are weaker, so he's sending the weaker soldiers that he has to fight Bnei Amon.
It happens. There's a map. Here's Amon over here. Here are the other guys up over here.
Right.
And he's coming this way.
Yeah. He's coming this way.
He knows they're there. And he
right,
knows
so they split up.
There.
They split up.
So when he gets here, he sends them over here, and we loudly right. goes against them.
Right, exactly. They split up. They split up the army, and they attack each army separately. What does he tell Avishai? If Aram, the four kings, will try to defeat me, you should come and try and help me. If you find the Bnei Ammon are overcoming you, then you should send a messenger, I'll come and help you out. Chazak v'nischazak v'ad aminu v'ad orei elikeinu v'ashem yaseh toiv be'inov. This pasuk is a very telling pasuk. He's saying we have to do our best. Chazak v'nischazak v'ad aminu. We have to strategize, come up with the best plan for the war. However, at the same time, we have to realize that it's Hashem who will decide the best thing. V'ashem yaseh toiv be'inov. We learn a major yesod when it comes to bitachon. Person might think, listen, you know, I can pretty much do whatever I want. I can be 200 pounds overweight, smoke 4 packs of cigarettes a day. Last time I exercised was 16, right? And then that person can't believe that Hashem singled him out for a heart attack at the age of 38. Well, you're a fool. I'm very sorry. Don't go ahead and blame Hashem for your mistakes. You have to do the best you can. You have to live a healthy life, eat healthy, exercise, don't smoke. And if you do that, then Hashem will hopefully take care of you. If something happens, okay.
Yeah, it makes sense. Hashem gave you a body, and He told you how to keep the body going.
Exactly.
You eat right. You don't eat right, what do you eat? Hashem's not going to stop what's going to happen to you because you're doing it to yourself.
Exactly.
You know, when people say, you know, smoking, and they, I see people going with the air and smoking and the same thing, and they says, everybody dies, so what? But the difference is, you're going to suffer like hell before you die.
And you're going to die earlier.
They don't realize that.
Right.
Crazy.
Yeah. Right. It's very sad.
I say your body tells you what you should eat.
Exactly.
You eat something and you feel it doesn't keep away from it.
Exactly.
And Hashem's telling you what to keep away from too.
Right.
He knows. He built you. He knows. Like I say, the manufacturer of the automobile knows how to take care of it.
Exactly.
Because they built
them. Right, exactly. So now, taking that one step forward, when it comes to your own ishtadlus, right, when you're facing a situation, let's say you're making a living, right, does that mean you can sit at home, do nothing, and expect the paycheck to come in the mail? No, obviously not. But here's where it comes tricky. You have to go ahead, do everything you can that's in your power to either make a living, or if you're facing a medical condition, you look for the best doctor, right? You don't just go to a mediocre doctor, you go for the best. However, you have to know full well that at the same time that you're doing your stylus, you're doing your best, it does not depend on that at all. It only depends on Hashem. That is a very difficult dargo to get to. Because on some level we feel that, you know, listen, we tried something, so obviously it's, you know, it's our yishtalis that did it, right? It was the doctor who managed to cure me, right? Because I went to this college, that's how I managed to get this job. Because I'm such a charming personality, that's how I was able to get a raise, right? And make money. No. It's not about that. On some level we feel like it is up to us at the end of the day. Yeah, Hashem helped along the way, but it was really us. We have to understand that Arish Dalus did absolutely nothing. Zero. Zero. It was all HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And that's exactly what Yoav is telling Avishai over here. He's telling him, we have to do our best. You have to come up with a strategy that makes sense, that we'll be able to defeat our enemies. However, we have to know that if Hashem wants, we will be defeated. It has nothing to do with our strategy and with our powerful and mighty warriors. It's only depending on Hashem. And now Yoav over here was concerned. He was afraid that because of the avera that they did, by sending men to Ammon, and it looked like they were trying to become an ally, he was concerned on some level that Hashem will punish them for that, and they might even lose the war. That's what Yoav is addressing over here, very subtly. So now let's see what happens. Vayanusu Miponav, Yoav and all of his mighty warriors start fighting with Aram, with the four kings. They run away. Now this is the more powerful army that's running away.
The four kings.
Yeah, the four kings. Yeah, they all run away. Bnei Amon ro kinos Aram, Vayanusu Mipnei Avishai Vayavayu Eir. Bnei Amon, I realize that the four kings are running away. This is who they were relying on. They were hoping they would defend them. Not only are they not defending them, but they're on the run. So what do? They immediately run into the city. They're hoping to be protected by the walls of the city, by the fortress. And so they run in. So Yoav leaves Yerushalayim. Right? He realizes that everyone's running away from him. They don't want to fight. And he goes back to Yerushalayim. Aram now realizes that he lost the war, so they gather together. So now they regroup under the ruling of Hadad Ezer, and they bring their armies to Yerushalayim. David now realizes that he's got another attack on his hands. They come to a place called Chelaima. Now it's David fighting. Instead of sending Yoav again, he himself goes ahead to the war to fight. David now chases Aram and he kills 700 chariots and 40,000 horsemen. That's Shoybach Sartzvoy, he called Yamasham. He kills Shoybach, who was the general, and he dies right there. Vayir call Malachim, Abdei Hadadezer, Kinikfalifnei Israel, Vayashlimu Israel, Vayabdum. The rest of the kings now realize that Hadadezer, who was the most mighty of them all, was defeated by David, so they immediately call for a treaty of Risai, and they are now paying taxes to David. Now Aram learned their lesson, and that was the last time they ever went to save Bnei Amon. So David came out victorious, even though he started off doing something wrong with Bnei Amon. He ended up coming out victorious. Baruch Hashem. So there were two wars. First, Yoav and Avishai, they defeated them, and then the enemy regrouped, and David came out and defeated them again. Okay, that's the end of the Perek. Now we're going to start Perek Yud Aleph. Perek Yud Aleph discusses a very difficult episode in the life of David HaMelech. The story of David and Bathsheba. The story of David and Bathsheba is very hard to understand. There is a lot that was said about it, and we're going to go through one step at a time. We'll see exactly what happened.
This is after all this stuff happened.
Yes.
Okay. Which wife was? He had like 18. He says which wife?
Well, at this point he didn't have 18 yet. No.
Huh?
At this point he did not have 18 yet. Otherwise he wouldn't be allowed to marry Bathsheba.
Already had 17.
Yeah.
What difference does it make?
What was she the last one he married?
I don't know.
Well, not clear.
He wasn't invited to the wedding, so how was he supposed to know?
He hasn't married.
She's not his wife yet. She's not his wife. At this point, but he ends up marrying her, as we all know. She was the mother of Shlomo.
Right. But at what point did they get together? I mean, how many wives did he have before her?
I don't know. I don't know exactly how many wives.
I mean, no, it just seems how the story is that she becomes the male one, then her offspring is going to become the next king, not the other ones. I mean, as the firstborn's supposed to get it first?
Not necessarily.
I mean, from the kingdom.
Well, we're going to see the firstborn of David was Amnon. Amnon ended up getting killed by his brother.
Okay.
So, he's out. And the next one in line, Absalom, ended up rebelling against David. David had a lot of troubles from his sons. A lot of troubles. Most of them ended up rebelling. They gave him a real run for his money, yeah. In any case, just as an introduction to this perek, the Gemara in Sanhedrin talks about what happened before this. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that David HaMelech came over to Hashem and says, why is it that in Shmoneh Esrei, the first bracha it says, Elokei Avram, Elokei Yitzchok, Elokei Yaakov, and it does not say Elokei David? Why am I left out? Now, David wasn't haughty, he wasn't arrogant, he wasn't trying to, to put himself on a pedestal. He realized his darga, and he figured that in his level, he should be mentioned in Shemoneh Esrei. He should be part of the Shemoneh Esrei, just like Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov were.
But there were a lot of other people before him. Moshe, Aaron.
True.
How about them?
Like true.
He should be mentioned before them?
Well, he figured that he is on the same level as they are, as Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov.
How can you figure you're going to be at a higher level than Moshe? It seems hard.
You see that on some level, Moshe Rabbeinu was not on the level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. When Moshe comes to Hashem and tells him, "Lama reyesa lama ze," when Paro made it worse for Bnei Yisrael and Mitzrayim after Moshe came to him, he comes complaining to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. How could he do this to the Jewish people? What does Hashem say? Chaval al da'avdim v'lo mishtakhim. Right? They don't make them like they used to. Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. I told them something, no matter what happened, they never, ever questioned me. You, Moshe Rabbeinu, the first mission I give you, you already questioned me. We see that Moshe Rabbeinu was not on the level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Now, again, we have to understand what that means.
Well, if you want to say it that way. But nothing happened to the Jews with Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, like what happened with Moshe.
They had a mission, that was it.
Everyone has
a mission in life. That's all.
Yeah, I'm not.
If something would have happened, whatever he said, Yaakov, like that he told them that was happening to Moshe, maybe they would have complained too.
Yeah, listen, I'm not saying.
Something happened. He didn't just complain out of the world.
You're right.
He's trying to say, you told me what to do, and I did all this here, but the Jews are suffering for it. It's different than Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Nothing happened to the Jews there was no Jews at that time altogether. The first Jews came out when they left Egypt. They weren't even Jews yet. They weren't even a nation.
Right.
I mean, that bothers me. But go ahead.
Yeah. I hear.
I mean, why should Davi think that he is higher than these people that were before him? I mean, there's a lot of people after Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov with the Jews, and before he even was born. Why did he think that he should be put up with them as them? I don't get.
Yeah, you're right. Listen, it's not easy to understand, but
that's what they say. Yeah. They say, okay.
That's what it says in the Gemara.
Try to understand it. That's all.
Right. No, it's good. It's good. You have to understand. So now, what does Hashem answer David? He tells him, "Listen, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov all went through Nisyonos. I challenged each and every one of them. You, however, did not have any Nisyon yet." Well, we're talking about a major Nisyon. Obviously, David had a very difficult life. He went through all the different Nisyonos, but we're talking about a major Nisyon.
He doesn't call all this war that he's fighting and all these people he's killing.
You're right. It definitely is a Nisyon, but it's not a Nisyon on the level of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They all had Nisyonos on a much higher level than David, and until this point, David did not have a Nisyon on that same level. So Hashem says, listen, they had a Nisayon, you didn't, that's why you're not there. That's why you're not listed. What does David say? Bring it on. I'm willing to face it, right? Bring me the Nisayon, and I'll be able to withstand it.
Give me the 10 trials.
So Hashem says, you want me to bring it on? I'll bring it on. I'll even make it easier for you. I'll tell you exactly in what area the Nisayon will be in. What area? The area of Taiva. Okay. That of Taiva.
Oh.
Of lust. Yeah. Of desire. That is the area that I will give you a Nisayon in. And this is exactly where David made a mistake. What did David do? You want to add, the Gemara says, Ve'echlif m'shkava shel yom m'shkava shel laila. Meaning, instead of being with his wives during the night, he was with them during the day. He figured if he fulfills his taiva, then he will have less of a nisayon. However, the Gemara says that was a big mistake because Eber kot an yesh ba'olam, there's a small organ in the person's body. Masbiyai roev mar'ivai savah. Once you satisfy it, it becomes hungry. If you starve it, it is satisfied. Meaning, the more you try and satisfy your taiva, the more of a taiva you have. If you hold back from your taiva, then you are satisfied. It's exactly the opposite, counterintuitive to what you would think. So this is where David made a mistake. He figured if he tries to fulfill his taiva, then that would take care of it. He wouldn't have a taiva anymore. However, that's where he made a mistake, and because he went ahead and it was with his wives during the day as well, instead of only the night, that's why his taiva was even stronger. And now we're going to see what is about to happen.
When did he have the times?
So he was a king, you know?
A king, he was fighting all these battles.
Yeah, this is afterwards.
Afterwards. After
the battles are over, he's enjoying the spoils of war. Yeah, this is after the battle's
over.
Yeah,
but he had more than one wife.
So what?
Ishmael.
He sent them on vacation. You go on vacation. I'll see you next week.
Right. So let's see what happens. We're going to see. The first thing we're going to say that he's talking a time where David was extremely relaxed. No distractions. Nothing to worry about. And that's exactly when the story of David Manchev happens. So Pasuk Aleph begins in Perek Yad Aleph. Ba'ili Tshuvas Hashana Le'es Tseis HaMalachim. Right? Now, don't think that David is now still, you know, worried and distracted about the war that he just fought with Ammon. This is 1 year later. A whole year later, he had time to relax, to rejuvenate. Nothing to worry about. Le'es Tseis HaMalachim. This is the time, don't think it was a time of year that it's not, where it's, right, you might think that it was, you know, during the winter. A time of year where it's not comfortable to go out. So he says, no, let's say some malachim. When the kings usually come out, which is when? B'chodesh Sivan. The beginning of the spring. The weather is beautiful. It's not too hot. It's not too cold. Right? Everyone comes out. what does he do? V'yishlach David Aseya v'esavad v'imay v'eskal Yisrael. He sends Yoav and all of his men. He sends out Yoav and all the mighty warriors, and it was really deserving. It wasn't like a small war where you know, it's really not proper for the king to go out and deal with such a small war. It was a pretty major war, right? And still, David did not go out together with them. And he were trying to show how he was really doing the wrong thing over here, right? He really should have been at war. And don't think that he was, you know, still weak from the previous war, because this is 1 year later. Don't think it was during the winter where he didn't want to get wet and, you know, from the cold and the rain. He was worried about that. No, there's nothing to worry about. It was during the spring. It wasn't a small war that that was not honorable for him to come out and fight. Rather, it was a major war. It was fit for him to come and lead the army. However, he stayed back and did not do anything. So he's now nice and cozy in his palace. And he's now about to face this major Nisayon. Vayilas Erev, it is coming close to the evening. Vayakam David Mal Mishkavai, David gets up, right? It's during the time of day when he just got up from his afternoon nap.
Siesta.
He was nice and satisfied. He just ate a full meal. And what does he do? He goes to take a walk. He doesn't take care of the war. He doesn't take care of business. He goes to take a walk on the roof. He sees a woman who is bathing, and he sees this whole thing from the roof of the palace, and this woman happens to be very beautiful. Now the Gemara says that the Satan was the one who tried to get him to sin, to fail this Nisayon. Said the Satan appeared to David as a bird, and David was trying to hunt this bird. Bird kept on getting away. He kept on running towards the bird closer and closer and closer until the bird stood on the edge of the window where Bathsheba was bathing. And as he shoots the arrow towards the arrow moved the curtain over. And that's how Bathsheba was revealed while she was bathing. That's how he was able to see her.
She was a mikvah.
Yeah, we're going to see. We're going to see.
I don't want to rush it.
Yeah, we're going to get there. It says, Vayishah mitaharas mitamas. We're going to see that in Pasuk Dalet. Vayishah David vayidrash la'isha. David now sends messengers, and he wants to see who this woman is. Is she married? Is she single? Vayomer la'izoyis Bathsheba basaliyam eshes uriyo hachiti. It says, this is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah hachiti. So first of all, we know she's married. But it also says her father over here. Why does it say her father? Why does it go through all lineage? Who cares who her father is, who her grandfather is? So the Pasuk is now saying why David had kind of a way in. Her lineage is actually pretty significant. Her grandfather happened to be Achitophel. Achitophel was the one who gave David the aid, so he gave David the advice that anyone who goes out to war and call a Yitzchak Lemachamis based David, Naisen get Krisus Leishtai. Anyone who goes out to war gives a get to his wife. Now, why did Achitophel establish this minag among the Jewish people? Because many times soldiers would go out to war. Not only would they win, not always would they win. Sometimes they would lose. They wouldn't have time to bury them, or they would bury them altogether because they were scared. So many times, a soldier, the body of the soldiers, were not brought home. Could have been that the wife would remain an aguna. She was not able to marry anybody.
She doesn't know if he's alive, dead, or alive.
Right. She has no idea. So that's why anyone who goes out to war has to give a get to his wife.
On a condition that he doesn't come back.
Right, so that's Mechlekes. According to one Mandomar in the Gemara, he actually has to give a real get, 100%, a regular get, before he goes out to war, they give you a get. If he happens to come back alive, then he can remarry her. Right, no problem. That's according to one opinion. According to another opinion, that's what you said, he gives her a get al tnai, on condition. Meaning, he can't say, okay, after I die, you'll be divorced, because you can't divorce someone after you die. So the way it works is, I'm giving you a get on condition. If the person dies at war, then his wife will be divorced from before he went out to war. Well, when he gave her the get. Yes. So meaning only if he ends up dying, then she was divorced from before the person went out to war. That's according to another opinion. In any case, David has to... David now knows that her husband is Uriah Hiti. He's one of the major warriors in his army. And David knows for sure that her grandfather, Achitophel, would assure the fact that his granddaughter would be divorced. right? Because he was the one who established this. So he was sure of the fact that she was definitely divorced before Uriah, her husband, went out to war. That's why it brings down her lineage over here. So what does David do? Vayishlach David malachim veikachel, v'tavi ela v'yishkav ima. He brings her over to the castle, and they are intimate. V'yimis kadeshes mitumasa. This is what you're referring to before. She is now not in Nida anymore. She went to the mikvah. V'tashav el besa. In Halach, even though a woman's husband is not in town, there still is an inyan for her to go to the mikvah, even so. And that's why she was going. Even though her husband was out fighting the war, she went to the mikvah. Vatar Isha, she becomes pregnant. Vatishlach v'tagil David of Tamer hara anoichi. It says she realized right away that she was pregnant because she missed her period. And she sends David the message that she is now pregnant.
Okay. You look at that, look at this at David's side. I mean, why would she do this all of a sudden?
Oh, she agreed to?
He saw a woman, and she says, well, I'm a married woman. I mean, I have somebody coming to the wife, you know. What was she thinking? What was he thinking? I mean, it comes out as a marriage of mitzvah. Actually, it was what happened and everything else. But all right, he comes up, he sees her, and okay, so I'm gonna have the thing. And why was she just because he's the king?
Yeah, she was afraid.
Yeah, she didn't really have a choice. Okay, we have to stop here because it's time for
the
marriage.
King calls you, you come.
Yeah, exactly. And, King calls you, you got to come. And again, he was consumed in lust. That's why.